The Big Apple. The city that never sleeps, question mark?
Yeah.
Is that New York?
The City of Lights. New York.
Sin City. New York City. The Windy City.
The windiest city there is. Old New York.
Ah, Dawson, look, there's your mom. Back to you, Bob.
Welcome to Back to You, Bob, at Dawson's Creek podcast. We're your hosts, Christina and Micah, and this is episode 418 Eastern Standard Time, which originally aired on April 18th, 418.
Wild.
Wild.
418 on 418.
Look at that.
Well, do we have something to talk about today?
Holy cow.
And that is that since last we spoke, there's going to be a Dawson's Creek reunion.
Who saw this coming? I mean, you.
Not I.
I guess. No, you've been sniffing around about it.
The psychic from season two, maybe. So it was a random Tuesday, or maybe it was a Wednesday. Can't really remember.
Wednesday.
All of the cast members. I actually saw Meredith Monroe's first.
As you would, Andy Stan.
As I do. I started posting a picture of the core four and heavily hinting at a reunion. But then all of them started posting it. And then there was the official drop that on September 22nd in New York City, they will be doing a reunion in honor of James Vanderbeek in partnership with Fuck Cancer. It's going to be a table read of the pilot. Every cast member is going to be there. Now, this sent the internet into a frenzy.
A frenzy. And it so this happened on Wednesday, and then they announced that tickets were going on sale on Friday. So it was like a very short window.
They announced it on the 20th that tickets are going on sale on August 22nd and the event is September 22nd. And so this is like our Eras tour, right? We're like, we talked about it. We plotted. You use your phone computer. I'll use my phone computer. We're going to wake up. Now, there was a scandal, as there are with all ticket situations. There was a scandal about the time. There was an issue. Some people thought it was...
Well, because I saw both. I definitely saw both.
Yes.
Because I happened to be in LA. And so I set my alarm for 7 a.m. thinking that tickets were going to be on sale at 10 a.m. Eastern time. But then as soon as I logged on, I was like, oh, no, it's 10 a.m. Pacific time. The real hero of the story is not you, and it's not me.
I'm never the hero of the story. Know that. Never the hero of the story.
Well, this time around, it's my friend and listener of the pod, Jess, who was also feverishly texting me at the time. She got in first before either of us. She was somehow just like that much ahead of us in the queue. I was like, okay, get three tickets so the three of us could go together. And then the price just kept climbing. I won't go into detail about that, but I know a lot of people had that experience where it just kept going up and up and up. And then eventually she was like, I think it's too much for me. And it was happening so quickly that I didn't think I could talk to you about it. So I was like, just get one because I don't want to commit you to something that's like crazy. So yeah,
absolutely.
We have one ticket.
The way I looked at it was, if I get a ticket, great. Do I want to fly to New York City? Because I'll be in Arizona that weekend. Mm. Do I really want to fly from Arizona on a Sunday to New York City on a Sunday or a Monday? Not really, but I will. I just left it up to like the fates. If I got a ticket, great. I'd make it work. I did not get a ticket.
But I did.
So this is all you.
Oh my God, I'm so nervous.
But also in true Eras tour fashion, there were reports of site crashing, a lot of like the quantity of tickets you want are not available. The section you want is not available. The price, you know, the price point you want isn't available. So a lot of refreshing, going back, you know,
yeah.
If you refresh, you lose your place in line, all of that.
I feel like there's got to be some system that these sites can come up with where like you are just offered like the best available tickets or whatever parameters you put on it. And it just live refreshes and you don't have to like, if one thing in your cart goes away, it's just to the next. That's like in the same category, right? Like, I don't know.
Right. Don't give me options. Just give me.
Right. I want to spend X amount.
A single option.
Put it in my cart. Yeah.
So you will be going.
I'll be going.
You will be very generously donating lots of your money to cancer research and
many, many American dollars.
You will be going. So keep your eyes and ears on our Instagram. We will be updating live updates from the event as they come.
Yeah, that's the hope. The hope is that I'll be able to get some stuff to Micah and he can just be posting it as we go.
Bing, bang, boom. Live.
Bing, bang, boom.
Hot off the presses.
But like, who knows? Is it going to be like, I doubt it. I'm sure that they want press around this, but is it going to be one of those things where they're like, absolutely no phones. Put your phone in the zipper bag. Is it going to be?
They might.
I know.
Everyone will be there, which is very exciting. So it'll be James, Katie, Michelle, Josh, also Meredith and Kerr and Busy.
Mary Margaret, Mary Beth Peel, John Wesley Shipp.
Nina Repetta. And I'm assuming Dylan Neal, because he's also in the pilot, right? But I don't know for sure. Is he in the pilot? No, he's not in the pilot.
He's not on this list. The list that they put out is Katie, Mary Margaret, Josh, Meredith, Mary Beth, Busy, Nina, John, Kerr, James, and Michelle. And they said like James, Busy, Kerr, and Meredith will read the ancillary parts in the pilot.
I wonder if Busy will be Miss Jacobs. Because do you remember Audrey plays Miss Jacobs in the retelling? So it'd be interesting.
If she plays for it. Sure. Or maybe Meredith, because just to rekindle the Pandy fans.
Oh my God. Oh my God. So it's going to be really interesting. I'm assuming there's going to be a Q&A, some type of Q&A.
Yeah, so I really am so curious about how it's structured. Yeah, but what would I even ask?
I think you say, hi, my name is Christina. I'm a big fan. I have a Dawson's Creek podcast called Back to You, Bob, available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And my question is blank. You got to get the plug. It's a lot of I've never asked a Q at a Q&A, but I'm just going to pressure you.
I feel like I should go back and listen to our pilot podcast episode because I feel like we had some questions for Kevin. Kevin's going to be there too.
Yeah, it's going to be great just because we're all getting older. A lot of, you know, I mean, this is might be the last time everyone's all together. Who knows? It certainly is the second time since the finale that they've all been together. So in like 27 years, it was this in the photo shoot for the was it People, Us Weekly, Entertainment Weekly. It was Entertainment Weekly. So this is a big deal. And who knows when it'll happen again?
I'm so excited. I'm nervous now. I look shut down because now I'm thinking about if I have to ask a question.
Well, don't if you really don't want to, but
I feel like I have to. I just have to think of a really good one. If anybody has any questions that we have asked that were sounded really good and smart, drop a comment and let me know what I should ask. Should I be given the opportunity?
It's going to be very exciting. We are planning to do an episode either later that night or the next day. It'll be a special episode kind of going over everything, but we will be posting to the Instagram the night of the event. So watch that space. And with that said, we're going to delve further into episode 418 Eastern Standard Time. So what is the Dawson's drink for today?
We're drinking the Daddy. It is Scotch whiskey, simple syrup, ginger beer, mint, ginger, and sugar. I love a ginger cocktail.
I love a ginger cocktail. I love a mint.
Same. Love it.
So refreshing. Well, I'm going to dive into the recap.
Do it.
Episode 418 Eastern Standard Time opens with Dawson and Gretchen playing the game of life. Dawson admits that he is thinking about Joey, and he explains that Joey has gone to New York with Jen. Gretchen is curious because Joey has school tomorrow, but Dawson explains that tomorrow is senior skip day. Gretchen recalls her skip day when she and her friends drove south without a plan and just winged it. Dawson takes inspiration in this and says they should have an adventure of their own. Gretchen insists that she was only sharing a memory, but they set out anyway. Despite her reluctance, she agrees to go along with Dawson's spontaneity. So after the credits, Joey and Jen arrive in New York, and they each have different approaches to the day. Joey has a strict itinerary, while Jen just says they'll figure it out as they go. Jen says she's here to visit the University of New York admissions office, and Joey came along to see the sights. But instead, Jen takes Joey to an old hangout where they run into a friend, and this friend invites Jen to a weekly lunch with some of their other old friends. Jen wants to go, but Joey worries that Jen will miss her admissions appointment. Joey begins to suspect that there's something else going on with Jen and that she's avoiding the university. Jen eventually admits that there is no interview, that she really came here to see her father. She encourages Joey to just go and join New York without her, but Joey refuses to leave her. She realizes that this trip means more to Jen than she initially let on. They go to Jen's father's workplace, a venture capital firm. Joey warns Jen to think carefully about confronting him. So in the restroom at her father's workplace, Jen recalls a weekend when her mother and her got into a big fight over going to visit Capeside, and her mom let her stay in New York for the first time instead. So Jen is unable to finish the story, and they go in to see her father, and he greets her warmly. He hugs her, He cancels his plans and he congratulates her on her college acceptance. This surprises both Jen and Joey, but he wants to make a big deal over his daughter. Pacey and Drew, meanwhile, are stuck at school on senior skip day. They're making up work required for graduation. And Drew needles Pacey about Joey being out there enjoying her life while he's trapped in academic purgatory. Pacey struggles to finish a difficult quiz, and then later in the cafeteria, he overhears classmates saying how easy it was. This moment pushes him towards Drew's earlier offer to participate in senior skip day. Feeling increasingly isolated and frustrated, Pacey decides he's had enough of trying to succeed academically. Dawson and Gretchen's trip hits a snag when they get a flat tire. Dawson insists that they keep going on foot and head to a nearby town. So they find a mechanic named Irv who allows Dawson to work for the day to speed up his repairs so he can get to their car. Later, Irv is driving them back towards the site of their broke down car when he learns they have no money, so he kicks them out. Dawson wonders whatever happened to generosity, but Irv is unmoved. So stranded and disappointed, they're forced to make the best of their situation. Meanwhile, in New York City, Jen, Joey, and her father have dinner, and Joey asks Mr. Lindley what he loves about New York. And he goes on kind of a romantic monologue, and he describes it as the best city in the world. And they're all kind of moved by this. Jen begins to see him in a more favorable light, until he is called away for work. He totally leaves them, and this reminds Jen why she has such complicated feelings about him. So making the best of their night, Jen takes Joey on a tour of the city, and it kind of rekindles her own affection for the city. Throughout the day, Joey's been commenting on strange energy from Jen and keeps saying she doesn't want to leave Jen because she feels like she might not ever see her again. So on the tour, Jen tells Joey more about the memory of the weekend that she was allowed to stay in New York instead of going to Cape Side with her mom. And she's telling Joey all these things she did instead of going home. And Joey asks her, why didn't you just go home to your dad? And that's when Jen says that she did. So with some mystery there and some recall, Jen says that she needs to go talk to her dad. Pacey and Drew, meanwhile, go to a bar near the community college. And this is where Drew jokes that this is Pacey's likely future. Pacey does admit to Drew that he feels a little left behind and it feels like everyone else is moving forward with their lives. The two use their fake IDs but are eventually caught and arrested for being drunk and disorderly. And of course, Deputy Doug is the one who's called to handle them. Doug asks Pacey if he plans to add alcoholic to his list of failures. Pacey grows very upset and says that can't Doug see that this is what's left for Pacey? This is his future. The arrest comes as a low point for Pacey, who's forced to confront his self-destructive spiral. That night, Dawson and Gretchen build a fire. They're still stranded, and they become hot and heavy. Dawson tells her that he's in love with her, and he's ready to leave Joey behind. Today taught him that there's adventures out there besides Joey. And that's when Gretchen stops things from getting too serious. She says that when they sleep together, it will not be to prove something. She wants their relationship to be about them, not Dawson proving that he has to get over Joey. So back in Manhattan, Jen confronts her dad and tells him about the story of where she went the day her mom left her at the train station. She went home to her house and caught him with Annie, who is a girl about the age that she is now, a girl who lived downstairs, a girl that Jen looked up to and adored. Jen's dad denies it, but Jen says that she saw them. She saw them having sex. He claims that she imagined it, and she's now in tears and asks who he even is. She recalls that that's around the time she started to spiral and act out. Jen confronts her dad with the suspicion that he did actually see her that night she came home and caught him with Annie. He knew what she saw, but instead of facing it head on and taking accountability, he let Jen feel shame and he sent her away to live with Grams in Cape Side. He's about to confirm that this memory is true when she tells him that she doesn't need that. She doesn't need a confession from him. She just needs to forgive herself. So in a closing montage, we see Gretchen crying while Dawson sleeps. Maybe Gretchen's finally understanding that his feelings for Joey will always complicate their relationship. Joey's waiting for Jen at the train station, wondering if she'll even show up. And Pacey and Drew are being driven home in Doug's car. And we see that Jen arrives, and Joey is very relieved. And we close out the episode revealing that Jen is in Dr. Frost's office, the entire trip having been a story that she was sharing with him. She says that she doesn't have anything else to say in therapy. She heads out healed. And that is episode 418 Eastern Standard Time.
Jen cured herself.
What a doozy. Rereading that and reliving it, I was like, oh.
Lots to talk about in this one.
Who wrote episode 418?
This episode was written by Jonathan Kasdan. He was first with us, and his last episode with us was episode 408, The Usual Suspects. So you can go back and listen to that episode if you want to hear more about him. And he'll be with us for three episodes next season.
And what about director? This is a big one because they did go on location.
Yeah, they did.
To your city, the Big Apple, the city that never sleeps, question mark?
Yeah.
New York?
The City of Lights, New York.
Sin City, New York City. The windy city.
The windiest city there is. Old New York. This episode was directed by David Grossman. This is his first...
Gross.
The grossest man, David Grossman. No, just kidding. This episode was directed by David Grossman. He started directing in 1986 with an episode, actually a TV movie, of The Popples. Do you remember?
Of course I do.
Oh my God. Love. I had Popples. I had so many Popples.
They're so important to me. I had so many Popples. White and blue are coming specifically to mind.
I can't say that white and blue is my memory, but I had so many Popples.
What's your memory? Pink?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe it was gendered.
Wait, he directed a TV movie? Was it animated?
A TV movie called The Popples. I don't know. Unclear. We'll have to get him on the pod so he can tell us all about his directorial debut.
Well,
he'll be like, we've just called him.
We've just called him the grossest.
Cut that out. We'll cut that out. Somebody cut that out. Well,
cut it out.
He has a wild career. He has done so much. He has 116 directing credits. He worked with the Smothers Brothers, first of all, which to me is like iconic TV history.
Which is who?
The Smothers Brothers. They had a variety
which
show.
Which is who? Oh.
The Smothers Brothers. To be fair, one of my professors in college was a Smothers Brothers historian. So we learned a lot about them in school. But they're iconic. They're iconic.
Okay, yeah. This is like golden age of TV.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. He was a segment director on shows like In Living Color, Mr. Show, Mad TV. So he has like a sketch comedy background. He directed episodes of Sabrina the Teenage Witch and Sister Sister. So he has some like sitcom stuff in there. He directed episodes of Lois and Clark, Early Edition, Freaky Links, Ally McBeal. So he has those kinds of shows under his belt. He obviously has this episode of Dawson's. He had episodes of Roswell, Angel, Buffy, Nikita, which is a show that I worked on for the CW. And then stuff like Desperate Housewives, Revenge, Nashville, and then 12 Monkeys, Lincoln Lawyer, and the new Goosebumps, which is...
It just got canceled yesterday.
Oh, no.
Sorry.
This just in. So was that two seasons? And then it
two
was canceled?
Seasons. Mm. Yeah, it was the first season with Justin Long, and the second season had Ross Geller. What's his name? David Schwimmer.
Schwimmer. Huh. Well, RIP to the new Goosebumps.
I do want to watch it. I do. I've always wanted to watch the new Goosebumps show ever since it came out 2 years ago. All my life.
Let us know how it is.
So he's still directing. He's still working. He's still thriving, living.
Yeah. Most recently, he directed a series called Alert Missing Persons Unit, which was a Scott Con.
James Con's son.
Right. Scott Con Fox show. And it just ended. It was its third and final season, just ended in May.
I've never heard of that show. It had three seasons on Fox.
Literally cannot keep up.
That's crazy. Scott Con's really nice. He let me cut in front of him one day at LAX.
Oh, that is very nice.
Yeah.
Rare.
That's my memory. That's my Scott Con story.
Well, this is David's first and only episode of Dawson's.
They must have had to pull in a heavy hitter to get those New York location shoots. I wouldn't want to shoot in New York City. That's my nightmare.
I'm so curious about the logistics of that. Like, I'm assuming that they just brought Katie and Michelle to New York for a day and shot the exterior stuff and then shot everything else interior North Carolina.
Yeah, but there were shots at Grand Central Station, right? Like, that was really...
True. Yeah, so maybe they did 2 days.
Yeah, well, that's wild. What about guest cast shout out? I think I know who's going to get it.
Okay, well, so I went down a little rabbit hole with guest cast shout out. The obvious choice is Don McManus playing Mr. Lindley. He's in everything. I feel like everyone knows him from something. He has 168 credits. He's been in like truly everything. He's had episodes of All My Children, Guiding Light, Grace Under Fire, Seinfeld, Northern Exposure, Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman. Like, the list truly goes on and on. Nip/Tuck, Frasier, Grey's Anatomy. He was in Shawshank Redemption, which I feel like is, from a face recognition perspective, where I was like, oh yes, that's exactly what I think of when I see his face. Most recently, he was in the new Joker movie with Gaga. But I was looking through the list of people who were in this episode, and I started doing some digging on Pat Hingle, who plays Irv the mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
So Pat Hingle has 201 acting credits starting in 1954. His first credit is the film On the Waterfront, which is insane. He was in episodes of The Andy Griffith Show, MASH, Saint Elsewhere, Magnum PI, the original Matlock Cheers Wings. He was the narrator in The Land Before Time. He played Commissioner Gordon in all the Tim Burton Batman movies. But the reason that I feel like I want to talk about him is because I went down this crazy rabbit hole. So he was also a Broadway star, and he has 20 Broadway credits, 18 of which he was in the original cast of the show. He was like in the original cast of, what's that show called? Cat on the Hot Tin Roof. When I Googled him, I saw that he had survived a fall down an elevator shaft in the 50s.
On set?
No, just at his apartment. In 1958, he was in a show called JB playing the titular role. And I saw conflicting reports, like Wikipedia said he fell down 54 feet. Some other thing said 30 feet. So I found the original article from the New York Times, the 1958 article from the New York Times, which is not even digitized. It's a scan of the actual newspaper, which is so funny. It's like modern day microfiche. But anyway, he opening night of this play, JB, he goes out to a party with his castmates. He gets home at 5:30 in the morning, goes into the elevator in his building. There was an elevator man at the time, and they got stuck between the second and third floors of his building. They couldn't figure out what to do. So Pat Hingle, Irv the mechanic, swung his body out to like try to like swing it onto the second floor, and then he was going to go get help. But momentum swung him back into the elevator shaft, and he fell down 30 feet to the bottom of the shaft. He broke his wrist, ankle, hip. He had head injuries, and he had to have his left pinky amputated, but he survived. So the elevator operator was also in the elevator, got out, called for help, whatever. That's how he lived. But in this New York Times article, it's talking about all this stuff, and it's like saying that they were at this party and how it was like, it wasn't like a raucous party. It was like a serious party with all these actors and whatever. The party was at Lou Antonio's apartment. Lou Antonio, director of Dawson's Creek that we talk about all the time.
That's crazy.
Man, wait, who's lived a million lives.
This was the night of his premiere where he was playing the lead role of a show. It happened that night.
Yeah.
And he was coming from a party at
Lou Antonio's house.
Lou Antonio's. Whoa, that is weird.
I know. And I didn't only know that because I dug into the thing and I found the article and it said it mentioned it in this article for the New York Times.
That's weird.
I felt like I was living in a simulation.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I know. So sorry for the extended guest cash shout out, but I felt like I had to talk about that. That's so nuts.
That story is wild.
Lou Antonio, I guess, was also a Broadway star. We've talked about him before, but he is like a director and actor. He was on Broadway. He did all this stuff and he threw a party and then Pat Hingle fell down an elevator shaft.
So two things. When it comes to Jen's dad, he got a special guest cast credit. Is that must obviously be from Shawshank, right? I mean, it must have been.
I guess so. Yeah. He obviously had a good agent.
And then I absolutely recognize Irv as Commissioner Gordon from Batman, like immediately.
I don't know if I pointed to him as that in my brain, but as soon as I read that it was him, I was like, oh yeah, that's why I knew his face.
Yeah. Batman Returns is one of my favorite movies.
Is that the one with
Michelle Pfeiffer, Danny DeVito? It's Catwoman, Penguin.
So good. All those movies are great. Actually, you know what? Haven't watched them in 20 years. I should go back.
They're all good, but my favorite's definitely Returns. And then I like Forever with Tommy Lee Jones and Jim Carrey.
Which one is Chris O'Donnell in?
That is, he's in Batman Forever. He's introduced, and then he's in Batman and Robin, which is part four, which goes off the rails a little bit. That's Arnold Schwarzenegger and Uma Thurman. And that's when the villains get a little Alicia Silverstone. Anyway, what about your music moment? I have two.
Do you? I don't really have one. I watched it twice, as I do, once on Hulu and once on True Love. And the music on the Hulu version is so bad. The stuff that they replaced it with is,
as always,
so bad. I really liked hearing Macy Gray's voice. Macy Gray has such a distinct voice to me, and it really puts me in a time and a place, but I don't know the song, and I never would have been able to say it was in this episode, but that to me was nice. But otherwise, I don't have anything. What are yours?
Well, I was a big Wallflowers fan. Do you know Wallflowers was my first concert?
Love.
My dad took me to see them on their original tour, One Headlight. I forget what the album was. But then they released an album when we were in college, or maybe right before college. It must have been right before college. And that played, I think, over a New York City montage. And then Sweet Jane. Sweet, Sweet Jane, the closing montage song.
Yeah, I have some stuff to say about that.
What?
Between the Hulu version and the...
Oh.
I'll just say it now. So in the opening scene, Jen references the song Sweet Jane. And then over the closing montage, the song plays. But on the Hulu version, there's like a really cheap ripoff version of the song that isn't Sweet Jane. It kind of sounds similar, but it's not the song. And it doesn't make any sense. I hate that they did that.
Doesn't make any sense.
Hate it.
I didn't know. I didn't know that they replaced the song in the Hulu version. But now that you're telling me, that makes no. Like, it's an
no. And then I'm like, anytime that they reference a song in the show, they usually shell out the bucks to keep that song in the streaming version. And they didn't do it this time. And I'm like, so then why did she bring it up in the first scene? Like, they just really cheapened it for me. It made me angry. It's a great song.
How dare they?
Truly. The audacity.
What about your past versus present?
I don't really have one. The only thing that you usually say that I agree with, but I haven't really said it myself, is that I really think Dawson and Gretchen were great for each other. This episode was a good one for them, I felt like.
I know. Do you know what I recently discovered in the last week? That people hate Gretchen. I stumbled upon this whole like thing on Instagram where people hate Gretchen. In the comments.
Wow, what are they saying?
They just, I don't know, just like it was weird for her to be hanging out with like these younger people and she needs to mind her own business and all this stuff. And I was like, oh, I mean, I get it a little bit.
I mean, it is weird. It's weird.
We've talked about it. It's weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
And she's in high school business.
And it's weird her, like anytime they have anything in this season, they're like, oh, it's senior prank day. Oh, I remember my senior prank day. Oh, it's the senior trip. Oh, I remember my senior trip. Like, which obviously is very real, but also I'm like, yeah, it's just a constant reminder that she's like 3 years older than them. But
yeah, I love Gretchen and Dawson. I think I like how honest they are.
Maybe a little too honest.
Maybe moments. A little too honest. Just playing the game of life. Like, what are you thinking about Joey and how she didn't have sex with me?
Yeah. How I really want to change the timeline so she's the first person I slept with, but I have to get over that. So why don't we sleep together?
In my, when I used to play this game when I was little, I would always imagine the game of life would end with me having sex with Joey. But here I am with you while she's with your brother.
What about you?
I guess my past versus present would be, in my memory, I thought Jen and her dad had a big, big blow-up fight.
Yeah.
Like, I thought he was really I thought he was more of an antagonistic villain type than more of a, he's more of like a subdued, creepy villain with like layers. In my head, he was more
like an outward asshole.
Yeah, I thought this was a huge, huge fight in my memory.
Yeah, I agree with that.
A back and forth fight is what I'm trying to say. But I must have been infusing what Drew said last week about them calling each other hypocrites and sluts. Like, I must have projected that into this somehow in my memory.
Makes sense.
Let's dive in. Let's crack it open like a nut.
Let's do it. I love the game of life. I used to play the game of life all the time.
Sure, but like, why are they doing it at 18?
I don't know.
Like, I'll play with kids, but like, why am I... What?
I don't know. The night before senior ditch day. Let's play the game of life.
And you know what? Another Jackless episode. I'm getting sick of this, to be quite frank. Throw them in with Drew and Pacey.
Sick of it.
I'm sick of it. It's homophobic and I've had it.
Gretchen, in her classic Gretchen way, says, I remember my senior skip day. Me and my friends drove all night. And Dawson's like, come on, sugar, and puts on her coat. And she's like, I wasn't making a suggestion. I was just basking in a nostalgic impulse. I hate that. I love them, but I hate them.
I love when they use unrealistic vocabulary. I think it's great. I think it's amazing. Quintessential Dawson's Creek.
Truly. Dawson says, don't you feel it at least a little bit? And she's like, what? And he's like, the absolute urgency of this moment.
Everything is fleeting. Time is running out.
Oh my God.
And she's like, who did I marry?
Who did I marry?
I don't know.
Jen in all of these last handful of episodes always kind of has that glassy-eyed, am I crying? Was I just crying? Am I about to cry?
Look, she's on an emotional precipice.
She is.
Things are happening. Things are firing. She's in therapy. She's on her healing journey.
She doesn't need therapy. She just needs herself. That's a lesson to be learned.
Joey has never been to New York. She's like an alien that just landed on Earth for the first time.
She's looking around wide-eyed.
She's like, wow, building.
Oh my God, I've never seen a building this big before.
Oh my God, car. You know what, this episode was wild because all the scenes are so short. Did you notice that?
I did.
It was like 10-second scene, 30-second scene, 5-second, not five, but like very quick, brief.
And it's very intercut. I mean, I guess that's basically what you're saying. Cool point, Christina.
No, you're saying it's like the storylines, but that
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
It almost was a little season one-y in that way, I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah, like usually, I feel like lately they've been doing like couple minute chunks with characters mm-hmm. before going to another strip. But this, the one, it was very bing, bang, boom.
It's like, now we're with Jen and Joey for 30 seconds on the street. And now we're with Drew and Pacey for 30 seconds in the bar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, when we first see Drew and Pacey, they are in their Cape Side High. And Drew's like, Pacey, I didn't expect to see you on senior skip day. And Pacey's like, I'm going to graduate by the skin of my teeth at this point. If I graduate at all, I can't miss. I think Drew throws out, like, maybe we should skip. And that's why Pacey says all this. Like, I can, I need to graduate. And then they settle in for a quiz, but not before Drew is like, oh, Joey's out there living her life. And like, you're here fighting for your life, you know, must feel shitty. And Pacey's like, yep.
Sure does. Thanks, Drew.
I love Drew.
Thanks for nothing.
They are at opposite ends of the spectrum when it comes to hair. Great hair versus terrible haircut. Just going to say it.
And I don't really know what's going on with Pacey at this point.
Sorry.
Why don't we buzz it again?
Do something with it. Gel it, spruce it, blow it, out.
I don't know. Slick it back. The New York City stock shot montage between that Drew and Pacey scene and the scene where we meet Typo, they're hilarious to me. It's like very fast paced. Street sign, cab, bike messenger. Silly. I love Typo. I want to know his story. What do you think Typo's story is?
I was just going to say, I bet you dollars to donuts that like the writer's assistant or the script coordinator or somebody in the writer's room was called Typo, or like one of the writers is like famous for turning in like scripts with typos. And so their nickname was Typo. And they were like, let's give the New York City guy like a funny crazy nickname. What about Typo? Because they don't even mention that he's a writer, did they?
No, we know nothing about Typo. All we know is he's a waiter and he loves Jen. He calls her baby.
I'm pretty sure this bar set is from Wilmington. Is this the bar set that they had the gay Q&A art poetry reading in? I think it might be. Redressed.
Could be. Redressed with weird headlights.
Like, yeah, the table lights were, the table lamps were
human heads.
Which is wild. Now, this teacher with Pacey, he seems sweet, doesn't he? We're not supposed to hate him, are we?
I just think he's just middle of the road. Like, this is a first quiz of the rest of your life. Okay, cool.
Pacey mentions that his quizzes are like tests, like they're really hard. And
also, Drew in the previous scene mentions that they should just stay until their attendance is accounted for, and then they should join everyone on senior ditch day. Attendance is taken in every class.
Right.
So
maybe this was their homeroom, and at Cape Side High, they only take attendance at homeroom. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's not how it was done at my. Now, Gretchen and Dawson drove all night, like Celine Dion.
Yeah. They drove for 6 hours.
And now they have a flat tire. His car is so hot.
I know. I agree.
That car makes him hotter. I mean, I know we've talked about it.
I agree.
Sorry to all the Dawson haters. Keep hating. But if you have a Jeep, I'll hook up with you. I don't know what to tell you.
So Gretchen says, you're supposed to have a spare. And he said, supposed to, but I don't. And then what does he say? Does he say, I gave it to some kid who needed a ride home? What the hell does that mean?
That's setting up that like he is generous and that he thinks people should be generous and help each other out. And it's setting up the whole Irv thing, I think.
But what does that mean?
Like he saw someone on the side of the road who had a flat tire and he gave him a spare. I'm guessing.
Okay.
We've said it before. We'll say it again. Dawson, no plot holes.
No holes.
Now, they're going to walk 6 miles to Willoughby, Maine. Just a long walk.
He's like, we are not hitchhiking. Have you ever seen a scary movie? Basically, is what he says.
And then 20 seconds later, we're back with Pacey.
Bing, bang, boom.
Barely had time to finish this quiz. Like the bell has rung and he's not done. And I mean, whatever.
Turns in his blue book and he's like, F this. I'm out of here. His teacher looks like Kelsey Grammer and John Witter had a baby. And it's that guy.
That's what I meant to tell you. He does look like John Witter. I watched this movie last night with Sydney Sweeney and Julianne Moore called Echo Valley. Mm-hmm. Which is basically from the writer of Mayor of Easttown. So if you liked that, you should watch this movie because it's all the same themes like drugs, daughters, murder, whatever. Mr. Witter's in it.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
John Finn?
Yeah. But it actually annoyed me because he's in two scenes very quickly. He's probably in it for a total of like 80 seconds. Mm. But they didn't give, I was like, I think that's him, but they didn't do any close-ups of his face. I was like, give this guy a freaking close-up, you know? It was just like a two-shot or a wide shot. But I confirmed through IMDb that it was him. But you know, I knew his voice and I knew his face, but like they didn't really do like a
tight.
Yeah. And I was like, come on. Well, we're back in New York City. What part of New York City is this?
We're at the East Village, St. Mark's Hotel.
Joey has gotten very suspicious of Jen here. And she's like, what's going on? You don't really have a interview at admissions, do you? And Jen's like, nope, I'm here to see my father, but you do you and you go. And throughout the episode, Jen is giving off like a weird energy. And Joey keeps being like, I feel like if I don't keep my eye on you, like I'll never see you again kind of thing. But during the conversation with Typo earlier, she's shocked to discover that Jen is like hemming and hawing about coming to New York City for college. And Joey's like, but you hate Cape Side. You know, you've always been talking about getting out and coming home. Basically what Jack was saying last week. And Jen's like, I don't know anymore.
And she keeps being like, I'm going to be fine. Everything's fine. And Joey's like, you know what? I'm coming with you because I'm your keeper, which is what Jen told Typo about Joey in the earlier scene.
I mean, we love Jen and Joey together.
Truly, this is such a good episode for them.
Gold.
They have none of that weird
competitive energy.
Yeah. I feel like this is one of the few episodes where, or few episodes up to this point, where they're friends, like really friends.
Yeah. And Dawson and Pacey don't come up once in their conversations.
Love that.
They don't need no man.
You know what else I love?
What? Irv.
This little seaside town. I don't know they found it. It's like a little one traffic light seaside town.
Me too. It's kind of creepy, but I like it.
And then we meet Irv. And what I knew the second time that I watched it that I didn't know the first time is that he doesn't have a left pinky finger. And I tried to watch for it. And it's like he is always covering it up with either a wrench or a cloth. Easter egg.
That is funny. I mean, funny.
Yeah.
It's a little Easter egg.
His truck's name is Eleanor Roosevelt, and he needs to fix it up if he's going to give them a ride. So Dawson offers to stay with him and help him.
Yeah, Dawson thinks, you know, I'm going to help you out, and we're going to keep this moving. So Dawson helps him fix up that car.
And Gretchen says she's going to go find them some food.
It's funny. She goes to the diner and everything she wants, the lady doesn't have. The lady is not here for Gretchen's.
Well, before they go to the diner, we're back in New York because every scene is only 30 seconds long.
Oh.
We're back in New York. We're at Warner, whatever it's called.
Warner Saxon Lindley, venture capitalist firm.
And Joey, I really liked this. This was really good writing for Joey to be like, look, I have done this before. I have approached my father in this kind of like huge life-changing way, and you're only going to get one shot of it at it. So why don't you take a second and think about what you want to say and like what you want out of this.
Take a breath, girl. Let's go to the bathroom.
Which I was like, huh.
Yeah.
So true. She's one of the few people who can speak on this.
Hell yeah. She wore a wire.
She did. She went to prison.
She did.
She talked to her dad through a gate.
This is where the story starts, where Jen hated Cape Side when she was little. One time her and her mom were going to go up for the weekend and she was like, Mom, I don't want to go. Mom, I don't want to go.
No, I hate to tell you, before that, we're back with Pacey and Drew. None of this is strung together, to your point. Joey just says, let's go to the bathroom, and then we're out of there.
We're with Drew and Pacey in the
cafeteria
where Pacey overhears people being like, that quiz was so easy. I aced it.
Also, Pacey is putting ketchup on his SpaghettiOs.
That's your man right there.
That's foul. And then we're back in the bathroom.
And this is where Jen is like, I hated Cape Side. I didn't want to go. My mom let me stay home. For the first time, I was 12. She left me at the train station. And before they can continue any further, a woman comes in from Saks, Warner, and Lindley. So if her dad's like a has his own like venture capitalist firm, they're rich. Right?
Rich, yeah.
They never played Jen as being like rich. They just played her as being a big city girl.
Yeah, no, they're rich, rich.
But I like this. I like this. No wonder she hates Cape Side. Everyone there is poor. She's like, I come from a high rise. I don't have a couch on my front lawn.
I don't have a front lawn. I have a balcony patio overlooking Central Park.
I have a horse. I have a horse-drawn carriage and an elevator man who will call the police on me if I fall down the shaft.
Triggered.
Gretchen.
This is the scene of all scenes.
She orders the tuna. So this scene made me go get a tuna hoagie yesterday.
Oh my God, I love tuna salad.
Jersey Mike's, like, it was so good.
I have actually never gotten tuna salad from Jersey Mike's. It's good. Psh,
I added some avo, I added some peppers, psh, added some cheese. Psh.
I love tuna salad. Also, to me, this waitress is the star of the episode. She's so good.
The Tammy of last week.
Oh my God. Yes, exactly. She is the new office assistant.
But I also love chicken salad. But I also love egg salad.
I don't love egg salad. I love chicken salad. Get away with me with egg salad. And you know what I hate even more? When potato salad has eggs in it.
Oh, I don't know. I can't really think of any that have that.
I don't want eggs and mayonnaise altogether.
I'll keep an eye out for that.
Report back. But wait, so Gretchen's like, well, I have two tunas. And she's like, we're out of tuna. And she's like, okay, give me two chickens. She's like, we're out of chicken. She goes, what do you have? And she goes, beef. I don't know. It was so funny.
And then Gretchen's like, roast beef. And the lady's like, sometimes.
Sorta.
Classic.
She's so good. And then we're back in the city. We're getting whiplash. We're back in the city. Mr. Lindley's secretary comes in and says, two women are here to see you. And one of them says, she's your daughter.
Also, he's definitely sleeping with the secretary for sure. Now that we know what we know.
He's sleeping with everybody.
He's sleeping with everybody. Hide your kids, hide your wife.
He's been smooching with everybody.
He is banging everybody up in her.
But it's a good scene. It's very cute when he finds out that Jen got accepted to the University of New York. And he's like, this is a big day. A father's child getting accepted into college is a huge occasion. We're going out to lunch.
Well, there's a misdirect because when the secretary comes in, she's like giving off this energy like there's two girls here. Like, you want me to blow them off, you know? And the dad, he's kind of unreadable. He's like, send them in, kind of a vibe.
Yes.
Expecting like he's going to be like, Jen, like, what are you doing here in the middle of the day? But Dawson's always keeps us guessing. He's happy to see her. She's going to college.
Finds out Joey's never been here. He's like, only the finest for my girl.
So there was definitely like a little misdirect going on there, I think.
Yeah.
He's not that cold man that Jen has described.
He's not cold, but he's not a mensch.
He's surface level, like he's fake, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then we find Pacey and Drew walking into the bar.
Yeah, and they have fake IDs. Drew is Gilbert and Pacey is Dave, a balding Asian man in his 40s from Rhode Island. And Drew's like, it kind of looks like you.
You're basically twins. Gilbert is a hilarious name.
I just like that they give Drew soft moments. Not soft moments, but I like that, you know, Pacey's confiding in him. And now, do you think Drew, I think I know the answer, but do you think Drew brought him, because he says, I brought you to this bar that's in the near the community college because like, this is your future. Do you think he did that as like a snap out of it kind of thing, or like, I'm rubbing your nose in it kind of thing?
I think rubbing your nose in it.
Yeah, I think so too.
Is Drew going to college? Do we know?
I don't know. I don't know what his deal is, because this is kind of the first time we find out that he is in danger of not graduating, right? I mean, they've never mentioned that.
Well, he pulls out a $100 bill and he says, start up a tab, sweetie. 3 shots of your finest tequila for each of us.
Yes. And this is where Pacey's like, I'm starting to feel kind of left behind by everybody. And then he just downs that shot. So he's definitely drowning his feelings.
Yeah, he is.
Of inadequacy.
It's starting to hit him that because everybody's gone, this is what it's going to be like next year. Depressing.
Now, he has said numerous times that he's going to follow Joey wherever he goes. But last week, he kind of said to her, I feel like I'm holding you back. I don't ever want to hold you back. He was relieved when he found out she couldn't go to Worthington. And he's like, you got to tell me if I'm holding you back. And she's like, I will never tell you that. I will just let you... I'll just let you drag me down. So maybe this is him being like, maybe what if I don't go with her? Because there's been really no mention that he would never not go with her yet.
And we're with Irv, Gretchen, and Dawson in the Studebaker. I got old Eleanor up and running.
Hell yeah. And this is when Irv finds out they have no money and he's like, bye.
But why did Gretchen ask? Gretchen's like, how much is this going to cost?
Because I think Gretchen is just, she's ahead of it. She's ahead of it.
She should have asked when they were already at their car. But yeah, Irv's like $60 and Dawson's like, what? And he's like, plus labor. Dawson's like, I just helped you all afternoon fix your truck.
But do they not have like a credit card? They don't have any cash on them? They were that spontaneous?
That's what I'm saying. I do not see a world. I mean, I guess he's only 17. True. I was going to say, I don't see a world where Dawson's parents haven't given him a credit card for emergencies, but maybe that's a college thing.
Maybe. Well, anyway, they're poor and Irv is like, bye.
Bye.
And he leaves them on the side of the road.
Yeah, he's a stickler. Like,
what about generosity?
What about generosity? I gave away my tire to a young man who needed a ride.
And Irv is like, sir, I don't have a pinky. I don't have time for your sob stories.
Give me your pinky. And I'll give you a tire.
Irv is like, generosity doesn't pay the bills. Toodles. And then we're back in New York, and Joey's kind of bragging about Jen and her dad, and Jen's dad asks Joey where she's going to college, and she's like, Boston. He's like, not New York. And then he talks about how amazing it is, and
this is a weird scene.
Well, I think it's supposed to be like he's like a romantic, charming kind of a guy, and he is more sensitive than what Jen thinks and what Jen's described. And I think it's supposed to be like maybe he's turned over a new leaf kind of a thing. You know, he's taking interest in Jen and Joey, and he's right. I mean, what did you take it?
I don't know. I mean, I love Joey in this scene. She's being a really good wing woman. Jen's very shut down in all of these scenes with her dad leading up to the final scene. And Joey's like, no, like, we're making sure he knows how fantastic you are, that you got into all these schools, blah, blah, blah. And then her dad's like, oh, not New York. And Joey's kind of questioning him at every turn. He's like, oh, it's the greatest. And she's like, well, why is the greatest? And he's like, oh, I fell in love with it. And she's like, well, what do you love about it? And then he gives this answer. And I was like, what is, like, is it just showing he also he's good? Yeah, I guess it's just he's charming, right? Like, too, that's part of it.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be like he's deep and he's turned over a new leaf. I think that is kind of the, but then when he leaves in the next scene, it's like the disappointment, the letdown that he's the same guy that he always was. And it's always, what's that phrase? All glimmer, no substance or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know words.
Good thing you're a writer.
Words are hard.
And we're with Gretchen Dawson, and Gretchen is withholding food from Dawson until he figures out a plan to save them. And he's like, I can't come up with a plan, I'm starving. And she's like, well, good thing you gotta figure it out. That was bad English.
And well, the funny thing is he wants to like get money wired, and she's like, that's not how money wiring works. Like, this town doesn't have money wiring, and it's not like the commercial. So it's like, it's Dawson's naivete, you know.
She's like, what part of the Willoughby that you saw makes you think that they have a 24-hour Western Union?
You gotta figure this out. Okay, there's no handouts in the game of life.
Gretchen's drinking out of a paper cup on the hood of the Jeep. And I forgot about, like, something about that specific paper cup was so nostalgic to me. It's a very 90s cup pattern.
Yeah, it was
early 2000s.
I agree with you. I had like also like a nostalgic reminiscent reaction to the takeout, the best.
And we're back with
Pacey and Drew. They're cleaning up. They are living their best lives as Gilbert and Dave, until the owner comes over and he's like, you're from Rhode Island? I'm from Rhode Island. How'd you get here? Pacey's like, well,
we took the Sam Adams Highway to the Dunkin' Donuts overpass. He doesn't say that, but basically just saying New England stuff.
Well, he's like, how did you literally get here? What highways? That's when Pacey's like, oh. He starts making stuff up, but it's too late. The owner has seen through it.
Mac's like, I have never heard of those highways.
The Chesapeake Bay, does he say?
I'm calling the cop. Yeah. Then Drew's like, my friend's drunk, you'll have to forgive him.
So funny.
And Pacey takes another shot of tequila as they're having this conversation. Then we're back with Joey, Jen, and her dad, who is missing from the table. And he's like, girls, I gotta get out of here. Business calls.
All those meetings I had canceled?
They're back. They're back on they're the back. Box. But he's like, I want you to take Joey out on the town. Here's some cash. Joey, Jen is the best tour guide. I'll see you guys later. Jen, call me. Great seeing you. See you some other time, basically.
I've talked to Henry. Henry's going to take care of everything. This isn't the first time Henry's come up.
Who said Henry?
Isn't Henry the guy at the restaurant that's like taking care of them? He's like, Henry, I'll have my usual, like Glenn Levitt on the rocks.
right.
And he's like, I have to go. I've talked to Henry. Henry's going to handle everything. I've paid for whatever you want.
The next scene, they are outside on a rooftop and we see the Twin Towers.
Oh my God.
So crazy.
Never forget.
And this is April 2001. It gives me a weird feeling in my gut. I have chills, actually.
I know. It's weird seeing it come up in old. I've been watching a lot of old Sex in the City too. There was a time when they edited it out of things. Do you remember that? They would edit the Twin Towers out of, like, I think it came out of Sex in the City's opening theme moving forward. Like, they would take it out of things out of respect. But then, I mean, you can't edit it out of every show.
And it's the history. It's crazy. But yeah, Joey's blown away. She's never seen New York this way.
Yeah, and Jen has kind of fallen in love with the city again, just in describing all of it. And she's taken her to all these places, and Joey's like, wow, this is New York City. And Jen is like, oh God, I've only shown you like the tip of the iceberg. This is nothing. It's so magical. I think I love it again. So maybe Jen and Jack will end up going to New York. I mean, we should be asking ourselves all these questions.
They just might. And then Joey's like, all right, I got to get to the bottom of this. Jen, what happened that night when you went back to see your dad? And she tells her that she did go back and then she left. And Joey's like, where did you sleep? And she says she slept in the parking lot of a place that she used to pass on her way to school, in the VIP room of a club, and then at some guy's house, right?
Yes.
A dorm of some guy she met.
I don't think she did anything. I think she was a little more innocent at that point.
Is she like 11 in this?
I believe she said 12. A New York City 12, so it's like a rural 14.
Rural 25.
But basically, she gives all of these things. And Joey's just like, I just don't understand why you didn't go home to your dad. And Jen's like, I did go home to my dad. And she's kind of remembering something in the moment. And she's like, you know what? I need to go take care of something. Will you be okay? And she just leaves Joey, which is wild. What did Joey do all night?
Who knows? But again, Joey's like, I feel like we're not going to see you again. Joey has this weird feeling the whole episode. And she's like, the train leaves at 11. Please meet me back at the station. And Jen takes off. Dawson has built Gretchen a fire on the beach.
I buy it. He goes camping.
He was a Boy Scout for 3 years, according to him.
And he's like, you know what? Today taught me that there's so many adventures outside of Joey Potter. You, me, my mom's pregnant.
It's made me realize that I love you. And I don't know why we're waiting.
Let's have sex right here in Willoughby.
Now they're...
Willoughby, Maine.
Now they're by their car. So they're 6 miles from Willoughby.
Oh, God. They're in some nameless town. And Gretchen's like, look, when we sleep together, when you get this banging bod, it's not going to be about Joey. It's not going to be about something to prove. It's going to be because we want it. But then she cries in the closing montage. So...
I know. And that's what I wanted to ask you. Is that because she's realizing how hung up he is on Joey? What is the crying about?
I think she's just realizing that, like, this is... Yeah, I think she's never going to be the Joey. Like, Joey and Dawson might not end up together, but he's never going to get over this girl, and he's never going to think of someone the same as he does Joey.
Sad.
What did you think she's crying over?
No, that is what I thought, but I didn't know if I was reading it correctly.
It came a little bit out of nowhere for me, because if she had a look of doubt during this conversation, I missed it.
Same. Yeah, so Jen goes into their apartment. I mean, if you needed any evidence that the Lindleys are rich, take a look at this apartment.
Yeah, it's very, it reminded me of Trey McDougal's from Sex and the City.
It reminds me of a less modern Succession apartment.
Oh, yeah. But he's drunk. He's passed out, like, with his whiskey.
And he's like, what are you doing here?
She's kind of talking about the past, and he's confused. He's a little disoriented, and she's like, I came home. I walked in. You know, I heard whimpering. That's when I recognized it. It was the sound of Annie, a girl who lived downstairs, a girl who's my age right now, which is 17. Maybe 18. And she's like, I saw you having sex, and I loved her. I adored her. I looked up to her. You thought me and mom were gone. And he's like gaslighting her, like, you imagined it.
And she's like, no, I didn't. You left the door open and you saw me. And that's when it all fell apart.
Mm-hmm. Well, the you saw me is like a revelation later. But she's like, that's when I started acting out. But I realize now that, like, you did see me, like, you knew. And that's why you sent me away, because you didn't want to deal with the shame, and you didn't want to take accountability, and you didn't want to tell mom, and, like, you didn't want to face this head on. So instead, you made me feel ashamed.
It's heavy stuff.
Very. Season 4 is heavy.
Yeah.
But, you know, Michelle Williams is acting her ass off in this scene, and she's, like, going toe-to-toe with, like, a really, you know, established actor. I mean, Shawshank.
She is. She's really good in this scene. I had that exact thought, and then I was like, she's come a long way since season one. Not that she wasn't good in season one, but she's really good in this scene and in this season.
She's definitely given Jen some layers, along with the writing.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like the dad's about to confess, and she's like, I don't need you to confess. I don't need you to confirm anything. Like, this is for me. I'm forgiving myself, because I know now that, like, I was just a kid and you were the parent and I'm free. Drew and Pacey get arrested for disorderly conduct, and Doug is called. And Doug is like, you're going to add, like, drunk to your list of like awful qualities now. And then Pacey is just like, this is my life. This is my future. And it looks like Doug is going to comfort him for a minute, but Pacey doesn't want comfort.
Doug calls him a moron and a failure. He's like, are you going to add drunk to moron and failure in your list of accomplishments? That's brutal.
It is brutal. I guess I'm just coming off the Sydney Sweeney, Julianne Moore movie last night where Julianne Moore like was such an enabler and Sydney Sweeney would come home like cracked out and she'd be like, honey, come to me. So I'm kind of living for Doug's. I mean, Pacey got arrested and he's drunk and he's in a bar all day. 17. Can't do that.
I mean, he can't, but you don't have to call him a failure or a moron.
No.
True.
But I mean, you know, I don't know. I'm not a parent.
Neither is Doug.
Yet.
Wink.
Wink.
Drew can't hold his liquor. He's puking up by the cop car.
Well, they've been pounding tequila for like 7 hours.
I know. Ugh, the sickest I've ever been was on tequila. We already talked about this scene. Gretchen stops them and says, if we're gonna go all the way, it's not gonna be because you have something to prove to yourself.
And there's like a will they, won't they? Will Jen show up? Will Joey ever see Jen again? Guess what? She will. Jen shows up. Jen shows up. They go home.
They have a nice embrace. But don't you think it would have been kind of wonderful if Dawson lost his virginity on the beach to Gretchen?
I do. But I have to say, I do like how Dawson loses his virginity, so.
Yeah, I know you do.
I think that Gretchen is like Dawson. Like, there's definitely a Joey's like the childhood love, first love kind of a thing. But I definitely think Gretchen is going to be a significant.
Like his first real love.
A shout.
But yeah, Jen and Joey are holding hands, going onto the train, happy to see each other. And we cut back to Dr. Frost's office and she's like, I did what I needed to do and now I'm done. And Dr. Frost is like, hold on. This is step one. You are not even close to done. And she's like, no, I'm good, actually.
She's like, I'm healed.
I did it myself. Thank you. Thank you for your help.
I did it my way.
She's like, I don't have anything else left to say. And he is. What did you say? His gabber is he's flabbergasted.
His gabbers are flaccid. You know what? Bye. I'm so sick of him. He's a creep. He can go kill someone else.
He looks heartbroken when she leaves.
He's a psychopath.
Not a fan. Not a fan.
Pack your turtlenecks and go. And that's episode 418, Eastern Standard Time.
That's it. What you watching?
I've dived back into Black Mirror.
Oh, I am so far behind on that.
Well, it's just so good because you could just do one episode. Like, they make 40-minute episodes. They make some that are like 80. You could just look at the run times and be like, oh, I only have 40 minutes right now. I'll throw this one on. This season is pretty good. Like, I definitely think the best Black Mirror seasons are behind us kind of a thing. I think when when Netflix in America took them over, I think, you know, like they started to kind of dip a little bit. But I mean, mm-hmm. The first few seasons are so strong. It's not that it's bad now, but there is one with Paul Giamatti that's pretty wild. So I'm almost done with it. You know, I watched the three, I think.
Is this the season that has Josh Hartnett in it or was that a different season?
That was the season before this past season.
I haven't watched either of those two seasons.
So far, this season has the Paul Giamatti one. Then there's one with
Issa Rae, right?
Issa Rae. I haven't watched that one yet. There's one with Chris O'Dowd and Rashida Jones. That one was
Chris O'Dowd.
Dark. Mm. And the Issa Rae one I haven't watched, like I said. And then there's the one, it's a spinoff of the one from two seasons ago, the USS Enterprise. Oh, yeah,
with Kristen Milioti or whatever her name is.
Yeah, Melody, I think.
Melody.
I'll probably skip that one just because I didn't love the part one. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm almost done. I just have to do the Issa Rae one and I think one more. Black Mirror is always pretty satisfying.
I have trouble because there's always like one or two that are so dark and they just bring me down and I never know what ones are going to be what and I don't want to Google them because I don't want them to be spoiled and then I just never start.
Yeah, well, the Paul Giamatti one was kind of wistful and more nostalgic about regret and the first one, the Rashida Jones Chris O'Dowd one is just dark. Like, I definitely think you should watch it because it's definitely one of those ones. Do you remember the one with Bryce Dallas Howard where she was voting up and down and it was like very social media kind of takes over?
Rating people. Yeah, yeah.
You can see us getting there, you know, like in the next 20, 30 years or whatever, maybe sooner. This one had an element of that. Like, oh God, is this going to be what happens in, you know, 2050? Who knows? But that added a level of darkness to it. Like, oh God.
I have trouble with the ones that are like the museum, the like Black Museum or whatever that one was, like the where it was like all the creepy stuff. I don't know, the ones that are like, or the pedophile ones, or like the, I don't know, there's some that are really, really dark where I'm like, oh.
I was thinking of starting Motorheads with Ryan Felipe and I think his real life son. It's on Amazon. I think, so maybe I'll report back next time about Motorheads.
That's a show?
Yeah, Amazon. It's all, I always forget about these Amazon shows. I want to watch Better Sister. I want to watch, I just forget about Amazon. What are you watching? Anything?
We've been watching movies because my partner loves movies and I like shows. So I've been trying to compromise because we watch a lot of shows. I watched Idiocracy for the first time ever,
mm-hmm.
which I know is like crazy because it came out 20 years ago, but I liked it. It was good. It was very scary. You know, like all of the things are a little too close to home, but it was funny. I enjoyed it. And then we watched The Gorge. You watched that, right?
No. I have not. We almost watched that last night.
I enjoyed it. It's not like groundbreaking or anything. And it's, you know, has its moments on multiple different ways of being cheesy. But I enjoyed it.
Cool. I love him.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Miles Teller.
Miles Teller.
He's like very, I don't know. I think when I picture Miles Teller, I picture him as like a younger dude. And he's definitely like older and gruffer now. And he had a very John Barenthal quality to him in this that I found very attractive.
Interesting.
Would recommend. And then other than that, we're catching up on the most recent season of The Bear.
Oh, yeah. You can't get into that.
I love it. I think it's so good. The characters are so good. That's it.
So we're going to be taking a little hiatus.
Yeah.
A little 3-week hiatus. And we will be back the week of the reunion on September 24th. We all need a break. Everyone needs a break to catch up on the pod. We need a break to catch up on work and our lives.
Life is hard.
And we're flying through this. We only have 2 seasons left.
We need to savor it. That's something that I've been working on in therapy where like, I'm like, oh my God, things are good right now. I don't know where it came from, but things are good and it's going to end soon. And he's like, why don't you just enjoy it while it's here?
And you're like, because I can't.
I can't. Sir. That's what's
why
next?
That's why I'm here. So we're taking a little hiatus and we'll be back. But season 4 is so good. I mean, these last 5 episodes are incredible.
Yeah. Really looking forward to getting into them.
Prom, graduation.
What's going to happen?
Pregnancies.
Dun, dun, dun.
Births.
I was going to say births.
This place has everything.
Well, everyone have a fantastic Labor Day.
Yeah. What are you doing for it? I'm doing nothing.
I'm going to the Finger Lakes in New York.
That's right. Well, I'll be here on my couch, probably watching this damn show.
I'll have a glass of wine for you.
Thanks.
All right. We'll talk to you guys in 3 weeks.
Bye.